Take your Bibles to Psalm 23 this morning. Psalm 23, we got a couple of weeks left here in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and you can get your notes ready if you got those there. We'll dive right in to some thoughts today and see what this passage and these words. A lot of us know Psalm 23 pretty well. We've heard it memorized as a kid. I've even been a vacation Bible school when we were a kid, or whatever the case may be. And so we know these verses. We look at verse number 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And last week we looked at thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a blessed psalm. What great thoughts that as we look at this psalm and many other psalms that we could look at, we see the goodness of God displayed and moving forward in our lives. And we're going to look at this today. We look at verse number 5, the beginning there. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Caroline and I were talking this week, and I asked her, I said, "What does that mean?" And her response was, "You're the pastor, you tell me." And she said that pretty quick. That came out pretty quick. When we look at that phrase there, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Now, we know it's a metaphor. There are many metaphors used throughout Psalm 23. But as we look here and we think about life, how does God take and how does he prepare a table before us? And not only just does he prepare a table or a banquet for us or a party, however you want to look at that, he literally does it in front of your enemies. Think about that. That's quite a thought. We'll have some fun today as we look at this thought and think about the goodness of God when it comes to this in our lives. And I titled it, "Thou Preparest a Table." And I'm grateful today that the Lord prepares a table for us. We sang earlier, "Once your enemy, now seated at your table." And someday we know in heaven there's going to be a seat at the table for us in heaven. And aren't you grateful for the marriage supper of the Lamb? That day's coming. There's a feast. It's going to be a great day. But how does God preparing a table work in our lives in 2024? How can we apply it to our lives today and take it and use it in our lives today? That's what we're going to look at over the next few minutes. Father, I pray you'd bless our time this morning. And I pray all that's said and done would bring you honor and glory. Lord, we need you. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and your love for us. And I pray this morning that as we go through the message today, that we would be able, when it's done, not to think, "Oh, pastor preached a good message." That's not ever what it's about. I pray that we would see your goodness on display. And maybe the overwhelming thought as we leave this morning, man, God is good. It would do us all well to focus on that. In a world where things are not so good, I'm grateful we have a God where everything in him is good. Bless the next few minutes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Life has a tendency at times. And you know, some people are like, life is always good, and life is good. But is it always, are you always doing well? No. There's always moments in our lives that are up and down. A couple weeks ago, Mary was saying, life is easy when you're up on the mountain. But there are the valleys that we go through in life. And life has a way at times of wearing us down. It's like we're in a battle, and we are, right? The Bible talks about that battle that we're in. And every day, there's a battle that takes place. And, you know, you could just look at our world. How many times in a day will I receive sometimes Mona and her prayer requests? There's hundreds of them in a day, and sometimes there's none for several days. But all through life, there's always something. Does it ever seem like that when everything is out there or like it's against you, it's like it just keeps when it rains, it pours. You ever hear that saying right there? And there are times we feel that way. There are times that we feel like we're constantly in a battle, just one battle after another. If I can get along with myself, that's good. But then my wife and I, or your spouse, what happens there? Or you have problems with your kids, or your job, there's issues, or there's struggle with debt, or whatever else, your fears, your anxieties are mounting, whatever the case may be. And sometimes it's a struggle in life just to keep your head above water. And I'm sure there's some people in here say, I've never been to that. We all have been to that spot in our lives. It's a part of life. And how does the goodness of God help us when we're going through it? It's there, no matter what happens. When you're in a battle, when you're all beat up, when you're barely holding your head above water, how does God want to help you and lift you up in the midst of that time? Now you say, well, the battle just needs to be over. Someday the battle will be over, and there's a table ready for when the battle's over. But there's a table that is ready today in the midst of life and everything going on that God wants you to have part in. You see, we look at verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That word table, it's talking about, you know, a king's table. It's a big table with a big spread on it. Something that I picture with that. So if you have not been, there's a family in our church. They're the Sandovals. They're sitting back over here. Every once in a while, they throw a party at their house. When they throw a party at their house, they throw a party at their house. I see literally their whole countertop and a big table. There's no room for a plate to sit on it because there's food everywhere. And then if that isn't enough, you turn the opposite way, and I'm not even sure. I got to look better next time you invite me to a party over there. I'm not sure if it's a folding table or if it's something that's built into the house there, but all the desserts and candy, the red vines, whatever the case may be, there's a whole big area of things right there. There's food everywhere. If you go to their house for a party and you leave hungry, it's your fault because there's always enough food there and a spread for an army. And I don't know what they do with what's left over when it's all done, but they go all out. And many of you do that. Your mom's birthday party last week, there was a lot of food there, a lot of people there. You're planning for more people. So what do? You have enough food for whoever says they're going to come. And that's the way you work it. You don't throw a party and not have enough food for your guests when they come. That's not a good way to do it, right? And so as we look here this morning, we see this phrase, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. When we think about this morning, that table, you think about a party. You think about some versions that refer to it as a banquet. A banquet is ready. And what do we know about this banquet? What does the Bible say? First of all, number one, that's the question I want to ask this morning. What kind of feast or banquet is this? Because the Bible says here that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, what do we see and know about this? First of all, we know, letter A, that God is the host. Thou, referring to God, the shepherd, right? God's the one who hosts this banquet. He's the one who sets the spread, has it all. And so when you have a party or you have a banquet or something that goes on, someone has to host it. You know, last week at your mom's birthday party, you hosted it at your house. It could have been hosted at someone else's, but you hosted it. And as the host, you plan for it, and good thing your children helped out too in the cooking and all that stuff. Good to have a good support team to do all those things. But when it comes to this table that's being prepared for us, the first thing we realize is God's the host. This is his table. But letter B, we also see that it's well planned. Thou preparest. God just doesn't one day say, hey, come on over. We'll figure out what we're going to do when you come. No, it's already been well planned out. A good party, a good banquet is well planned out. You don't plan a banquet the day of. You don't plan how you're going to do it. You don't, oh, it's 1 o'clock and everybody's coming at 2. What are we going to eat in an hour? That's not the way to do it. There are several of you in this room that know how to throw good parties. The Vandestigs, too, they know how to throw good parties. Good food at those parties that they have. But they don't plan it an hour. Oh, let's 1 hour before. Let's just see who can come. No, it's well planned out. That's what you do with a party or a banquet. The Bible says here, God is the one who is hosting it. It's been well prepared, well thought out. It's been planned. The list has been sent out. And we see this, letter C, the fact that you and I are the guest of honor at this table. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. This banquet's not for someone else, it's for you. You're the guest of honor. Imagine getting a letter in the mail that says you are invited. And it says your name is the guest of honor, been invited by God to a feast. How cool would that be, right? And you'd be like, I want to go. If God throws a party and invite, and I'm the guest of honor that he wants to bring to his party and wants me to come to his table, I'm going to go. But just because you didn't get in the mail today a card from God saying that, this passage lets us know that you've been invited and God has a table for you. You're the guest of honor. Now, the next thing that we see, letter D, is the fact that this table or this banquet, it's in public and it's not secret. In the presence. You see that? It's not like, you know, there are some people you don't mind being seen with. But then there's others you might privately take them somewhere or whatever the case may be. No, this is public for the public to see. But the thing that's interesting to me, now think about this. So Anne, picture last week, you throw this party for your mom. And imagine she's the guest of honor, which she was. But instead of inviting all her friends and family, you invite all the people that don't like her. What type of a party is that going to be? And I know there's not one person that doesn't like Marge, so that's why I could use you as an example here. If you had a party full of all your enemies, there would have been no one there. It'd just been you by yourself. No one else would be there. But you think about, you throw a banquet or a party, you want all your friends and family there, right? But this says, in the presence of my enemies. I started thinking about that one. Imagine someone threw a party for me, threw a party for the pastor of the church here, and they didn't invite the people that come to church, but they invite all the people that left, that didn't like me anymore. And they're all here, and I'm like, I walk in, hi, how are you? So good to see you. You're still giving me that look you gave me before. That's not the way you would want it to be, but it talks about, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Interesting phrasing, the way it's worded here. You know, we could look and we understand that when we get to heaven, there's going to be a table and a spread. And the marriage supper of the Lamb, what a feast and what a table it's going to be. And you get to have access and you get to sit there and be a part of it. But as we go through life, as David was pondering this psalm and penning these words, and he penned those words, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We know it's a metaphor. But what are some thoughts that we could have from this? Well, one of the things as I look through this and I think about this banquet, we see that God's the host. He plans it well. We're the guest of honor. It's in public, not in secret. It says it's done in the presence of our enemies. So my next question this morning is number two, who's the enemy? So there are enemies. We do have enemies, right? And it's not anybody sitting in this room, okay? They're not your enemy today. That's not an enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. When we think about who the enemy is and the enemy that runs contrary to things, we could say letter A, the world around us. And we understand this, the world setup, the world system. God so loved the world, God loved the people of this world, he gave his son. I'm not talking about people here, I'm talking about the way this world is set up. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world, everything about it is in opposition to God. This world worships itself when we're to worship God. This world is coming after us, criticizing the way a Christian would think, what they would do, picking on, whatever the case may be. And that's one of the enemies. Another enemy is Satan himself. Satan's against us. I go to the book of Job and I think about what happened to Job. What was Job's big sin? That he was a good guy. God says, look at my servant Job. He's a good man. That's the gist of what he said. And what was Satan's response? He's only good because you're good to him. If you take your goodness away, he'll turn on you. And we see that that's not what happened with Job. But Satan is against us. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:11 to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks, the schemes of the devil. The devil has a lot of tricks, a lot of schemes. He's against us today. And he knows, think about this, Satan knows he can't defeat God. So what's he going to do? He's going to go after one of God's most favorite things, his children. If you couldn't take someone down, where are you going to go? Go after their kids. That's what Satan does. And just as the world's our enemy and just as Satan is our enemy, I would say the biggest enemy I have is letter C. My flesh, my old nature. It causes me more grief than anyone else does. You know, a lot of times I hear people say, well, Satan made me do that. Do you know the Bible talks about that Satan goes to and fro? He's not like God where he's everywhere at the same time. So when like multiple people in multiple places say Satan made me do that, now I know Satan has his minions and all this other stuff and all that good stuff, but at the end of the day, we do what we do because of our flesh. Bible talks about that and how sin works. When lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin when it's finished bringeth forth death in James chapter number 1. I want to do what's right. I want to please God. I want to do those things. But Paul says, the things I would do, I don't do. And my biggest problem is look what it says in Romans 7, verse 15 to 18. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. But then it is no more than I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And Paul says, I know that in my flesh dwells no good thing. And my biggest enemy during the day is myself. I mentioned we had the PD Bible study this last week. And I taught on why we need the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so it was my week to teach, and so we're getting into the fruits of the Spirit over the next several months. But I mentioned the fact that literally I get up every morning. First thing I do is I pray before my feet get out of bed. But a few minutes after being up, one of the first things I do is I look in the mirror. I say, why do you look in the mirror? Because when you have a face like this, you got to check it out as much as you know. That's got nothing to do with it. But I always look at this handsome face in the mirror, and I always, every day, I start out my day, I talk to myself. Brian, you're going to be good today. You're going to let the Spirit of God lead you and guide you. You are not winning today. The Spirit's winning. And there are days that I will get in front of a mirror in multiple places and do that several times in the day to remind myself. You say, you talk to yourself? You do it too. Just don't answer yourself. That's where the trouble comes into play. And do it sometime. Be in like Sam's Club and you're washing your hands at the mirror and you're doing it and someone's standing next to you, they're going to think no, I've never done it with anybody else. It's always privately by myself. I don't even do it with my wife around. But I constantly am reminding myself, literally, one of my biggest enemies during the day is my flesh. Because the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, so you cannot do the things that you would. And that's why it says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we look at our enemies throughout the day. This world and the system of this world, Satan. We look at our flesh, and the Bible says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And as we look at this, the third thing I want you to see this morning is, what does this table symbolize? we know that it's literally not referring to an actual table being set out for you, but it's a metaphor. It symbolizes something. And you could look at multiple different people, multiple different preachers, multiple different commentators, and get multiple different thoughts when it comes to these things. But when you look at this morning, and when you see thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, I believe letter A, what it symbolizes, the fact that God wants and welcomes fellowship with me. God wants me to be with him. God, think about it this way. God wants to hang out with you. He really does. You go back to the Garden of Eden. God and man fellowship together. And it must have been good, and God must have loved it. Why? He had his son die on a cross so we could have fellowship with him again. And someday spend eternity with him, kind of like going back to what the Garden of Eden used to be like, but in a totally different light, and we can fellowship with him forever. Think about that this morning. Banquets, food, tables, fellowship. That's what it represents. God wants to spend time with you. When you want to spend time with someone, the past couple weeks, I've gone to breakfast almost every day with people. See it right here. And lunch a few times. And the next few weeks, I've got the same thing with several people. Someone I haven't seen in a while, we talked the other day. And I'm like, let's go do lunch. Let's go get coffee. Why do we say, let's go to breakfast, let's go to lunch, let's go get coffee? We do it to spend time together, right? If you don't want to spend time with someone, you're not going to invite them out to lunch, right? That's common sense, right? So normally, if you want to invite someone out to lunch or coffee, whatever the case may be, it's to spend time with them. And that's why, as we look here, God wants to fellowship with us. God says, I'm throwing a banquet, I'm throwing a party for you, you're the main guest, so come to my party, come to my banquet. Say, but I'm in the middle of my battles, I'm in the middle of everything going on in my life, and God says, relax, come sit at my table, let's do lunch, let's have coffee, let's just take a break, come to my table, it's been prepared for you, come sit with the king. Well, your flesh, Satan, and everybody else wants to mock you and laugh at you. Come sit with me because I love you and I care about you. Come spend time with me. Come fellowship at my table that's been prepared for you. The Song of Solomon tells us in chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. I think about the Lord preparing a table or a banquet for us. And I think you could apply this verse to what the Lord's doing in our lives. His banner over us, he loves you. He wants you to fellowship with him. He wants to spend time with you because he loves you and wants you to be with him. Picture the enemy fighting you and the enemy trying to destroy you and all these things going on. And then you get the note that says, the king wants to see you. I'll be back to battle in a few minutes. And you go meet with the king. The king says, sit down. Take a load off. Let all the enemies see what I'm doing here. Relax a little bit. Let's talk. Let's fellowship. In the midst of the battle, that's what the Lord wants to do in your life. Job said these words in Job 36, verse 15 and 16. He delivereth the poor in his affliction, and openeth their ears in oppression. Even so would he have removed thee out of the strait into a broad place where there is no straitness. God is willing to take you from the deep, dark place you are and take you to something else. Look what it says. And that which should be set on thy table should be full of fatness. Job's saying the same thing that David said. Literally, God has a table full of the best stuff. Now imagine I invite you over to my house. And I'm like, all right, I invite you over for dinner. I made this casserole a week ago, but I reheated it, and you will enjoy it. You'd be like, he doesn't really care about me if he's offering me that. And anybody that offers me a casserole knows that casseroles are not my thing. That's that Midwestern Osgood family thing, those casseroles. Casseroles can stay far from me, even though my wife claims I started making casseroles recently, but they are not casseroles. They're hot dishes. They're not casseroles. There's a difference. And so, but how would it be? I invite you over and I give you leftovers. Or I had this pack of hot dogs in the freezer for a year, and I threw them in the microwave. Here you go. It's not the Lord's table. The Lord's table's full. You know, it says it should be full of fatness. I don't see anything about vegetables being there. When I think of fatness, I think of meat. That's what I think of right there. The best steak, the best of everything, because that's what God has at his table for you. Think about this. He's got milk at his table for you. He's got bread at his table for you. He's got honey for you at his table. He's got meat at his table for you. You're seeing where I'm going here in just a second. God wants and welcomes fellowship with me. He loves you today. He wants to spend time with you. He's calling you. He loves you and wants you to come to his table in the midst of everything that goes on. And letter B, we see the fact that God wants to bless us to show the world his goodness. You and I are trophies of God's grace. And being a trophy of God's grace, it means I don't deserve any of it. I don't deserve God's blessings in my life. You don't deserve God's blessings. You don't deserve this table. You and I don't deserve this banquet. But God says, I love you, and I'm giving it to you because I'm good. It shows his goodness. You and I are exhibit A of God's grace. You are God's goodness on display. Look what it says in Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. That laid up there has the idea of storing up. The Lord has stored up for them that fear him his goodness. God wants to bless our lives. God wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to help us when everything's not going well. God stored up blessings for those who honor him, as we see in this passage. And I know you might be today going through the battle, going through that tough time right now, and you're just holding on like you're on a roller coaster, holding on for dear life and how you're going to make it through. But God's like, I got a table waiting for you. Come sit at my table. Get off the ride and come sit at my table for a few minutes. Bible says in Psalm 35, verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Look what it says here. Which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God takes pleasure and delight in the success of his children. We don't always do that with others, do we? Someone gets the raise at work. Oh, I wish that was me. God takes pleasure in being good to his children. You know, you do the same thing with your kids. You love making your kids happy. We all do. And there are times you have to discipline and train, but we love to make our kids, we love that. God loves to take care of his children. He loves to do those things for us. See, as we look here and we see thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, we realize the fact that God's the host. It's a well-planned event. There's a spread there. There's so many things that we could say about it. And with all that being said, we know who the enemy is. And the fact that God invites us to his table shows us that he wants to fellowship with us. And the fact that he loves us and wants to bless us. But if my redhead son is going to go to a party, David, anywhere he goes, he's a lot like his father. The question for Marge's birthday party a couple weeks ago from David was not who's going to be there. It was not anything like that. His question, what's the food? What am I going to eat? That's kind of, you know, if you're going to go to a party or a banquet, you're like, I hope they're going to serve something I like. And I know those out of you out there, you just be grateful someone's giving you anything and just take it for what it is. I know there's some people that say that. And if that's the case, that's why I leave most of the things for you to have. That's okay. But what's on the menu? What are we going to have at this table? Well, we know that this table is a metaphor. But when God invites us for fellowship with him and his table is spread and wide open, full of everything that we need. I mentioned a minute ago. There's water there. There's milk there. There's honey there. There's steak there, meat. There's bread, everything. Number four and lastly this morning, everything that God has promised us is on the menu. I mentioned going to the Sandoval's house and a party there. There's food everywhere. I don't even know. So you got the sliding door. You're walking towards the sliding door and to the left. That's your dining room table, right? I've never even seen your dining room table because there's always stuff everywhere on it. I wasn't sure if it was a dining room table or what it is, because there's no room for it. You don't sit at the dining room table. You sit at other tables in other places because that table's full of everything. So God is the host that has prepared a banquet table for us. And on that table is all of his promises and everything you need to get through life. You're supposed to feast on his word, aren't we? That's Bible. That is Bible. Like it or not, it is. Bible's compared to bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. The meat of the word, the milk of the word, it's compared to honey. The table's open. You've been invited. And everything you need to get through life is right there on that table from the Lord. Someone said there are over 5,000 promises in the Bible. That's what Google said. I think like 5,500. Say, is Google, is that separating Israel's ones and all that? I don't know. You can count and give me the actual number if you want. There are a lot of promises found in God's word. There are a lot of great truths found throughout the word of God. And God has, you think about this, God is, there's so many promises and so much that God will do. The Bible's referred to, as I mentioned, bread, and Jesus is the bread of life. And man shall not live by bread alone. We think about honey. I mentioned in the last service, Cracker Barrel is one of my wife's favorite restaurants to go to. She loves Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel is not one of my top, but because she loves it, I love it. That's the way it works. But one thing I really like at Cracker Barrel, and it doesn't matter, it could be cornbread or biscuits. Either one. If the cornbread's dry, then I'll go with the biscuit. But you get a good biscuit or a good piece of cornbread, you know what goes best on that? And some people might say butter and things. But man, just put honey on it. It is so good. How many of you would agree with me on that? And those of you that didn't raise your hand, have you even tried it? Because if you try it, you will never go back. Get a good biscuit. So biscuits could take one of two things, in my opinion. Gravy or honey. Not both at the same time, but that's how I would do my biscuit. Either gravy or honey, or if you go to Knott's Berry Farm, that boysenberry jam on there. Yeah, you can't go wrong with that boysenberry spread. That's pretty good on there. So I guess you could put some other spreads on there too. But last time we were at Cracker Barrel, I had this piece of cornbread, and man, I just put the honey all over the top of it. And I literally, I was very good on what I ate except for that. And I'm like, if I'm going to be bad on this one thing, I'm just going to be bad with it. And the whole top was covered in honey, and I even put an extra little squeeze on there just because. And man, you put that warm cornbread up to your mouth with that honey all over the top, and it just hits the mouth. Oh, that is so good. Or I'm just thinking, and I know any of you getting hungry, even since last service my stomach's been growling. I'm getting hungry. How many of you love steak? Anybody love steak? Good people right here. And if you don't, we'll have an invitation today for all of you that don't love steak. But my favorite steak is a ribeye. Some people have different ones that they like, but I love a ribeye. And it cannot be burnt. It's got to be almost medium rare or a little bit more rare at that point. But you get the perfect steak, and you slice that. it's almost like, and you put it in your mouth, it almost just melts in your, and you're like, oh, that is so good. When is the last time you opened the Word of God and went, oh, that is so good? The table spread. Oh, that, the Bible says in Psalm 119, it says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. But you know, a lot of times what we do is, oh, I have to read this, I have to do that, I have to do this. And you don't ever taste the goodness of the Word of God. When's the last time you just read a passage and it was just like candy in your mouth? A bowl of ice cream. Cornbread and honey. You're missing out. That's how the Word of God should be. Now, some people look, well, the Word of God's like a history book. It is like a history book. And you say, well, I don't like history. Then I get, okay. But it's not just a history book. It's like a book of laws and ordinances. Yeah, there are those in there too. And I don't like picking up city codes or different things and reading through those books. But that's not what the Bible is. It might contain some of that. There might be geography. There might be all these different things. But what the Word of God is, it's God's love letter to you. I can remember when I started dating Caroline, and she would write me a note. Say, what would you do with that note? I would read it and keep it. Saying, what would you do? I remember after the first date, she gave me a note. So what did I do with that note? I read it. And then a little bit later, I was thinking about that note and what it said, and I'm like, I wonder if there's any subliminal message in here that I'm missing. So what would I do? I would go pick it up and read it again. And I'd probably read it several times because I got a letter from this girl that I'm just starting to date, and oh, it's great. I remember when we, the first time we said we loved each other, and she wrote it in a card. At Bible college, the way it works, your beds, bunk beds, and so you have that spring stuff all over. So I took her note, her card that she gave me where she said she loved me, and I put it on my bed so when I go to bed at night, I could look up and see it. I don't know if I've ever told you that. Have I told you that? Yes, that's what I would do with it. So I could see and remember the fact that she loved me. Oh, how sweet. Some of you did the same exact same thing. And you know, and you say, your wife leave you a subliminal message? Yeah, she does it all the time now. You know, that trash looks awful full. Yeah, it does. I didn't know that means I'm supposed to go empty it. Or else even the kids know to put their clothes in the hamper. Oh, okay, yeah. I pick up on that one just a little bit too. But literally, I would take those notes and I would look at them and I would try to see what is there, what is my, you know, what am I missing? Is there something I'm missing? And I would just look through it. God's love letter to you is his book. Do you know what it screams from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22? I love you. That's what it screams. When's the last time you just picked it up and was like, oh, this is so good. It's filling me up. Sweet like honey. It's what I need in my life. That's what God's word wants to be in our lives. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse number 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know why a lot of people don't know how good God is? Because they've never taken the time to taste of his goodness. We sing that song, I've tasted and tested your goodness. I would encourage you this morning to take God's love letter and let it be a part of your life. His banner over you is love. He loves you. He cares about you. And when you're going through, you got to understand, this book was not written for everyone. Do you realize that? Because not everyone's going to understand this book. This book was written for God's children. If you're his child, this is your book. This is God's words to you and how much he loves you and how much he can help you get through everything that goes on in life. And as the battle's raging around and as you're barely keeping your head above water, I would encourage you, take a step away from the battle and go to the king's table where you're allowed and get filled up on all he has on his table. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I mentioned someday there's a future table coming, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if this was just referring to that someday, that doesn't help me in this life. It's a blessing and a hope to look forward to. But I need that table today. I want to remind you that day's coming when we get to be with the Lord and we get that table in heaven. Isaiah chapter 25 says this: "And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines of the lees, and fat things full of marrow, and wines of the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over the nations. He will swallow up death and victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all their faces. And the rebuke of his people he shall take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we'll be glad and rejoice in his salvation." And someday, what a feast and what a day it's going to be with him. But you don't have to wait till heaven to sit at the banquet table. You got the whole spread right here, and it's full. And God says, you can come to my table anytime you want. I remember when I was younger, I was getting ready to go to college, and the church I was at, the youth pastor there, our youth pastor, he wasn't the youth pastor, he was another guy in there, and he was like, when you go to college, he said, you need to do your best. This was his advice to me. I'm not telling you good, bad, otherwise. He said, my advice to you is that to literally get to know whoever you can at college, because they might seem like they're busy and they don't have time for you, but if you don't make an effort and reach out and go, then what happened? One of the people I was scared of to death at college was Ray Young. You know Ray Young that comes out every year? First 3.5 years of college, I avoided him like the plague. Well, you say, why was that? He was a busy guy, and I just didn't. I'm getting ready to move to Montana, and someone told me, you should go ask him, just ask him some life advice. So I went up to his office door, this big scary door, and I was like, hey, you got time that I can come just see you? And it was a Saturday. We spent 3 hours together. And that started to this day, literally, we talk often. He sends me messages. I'm an encouragement to him, he and I both. But literally, I've reached out and made the contact. God's already made the contact. He's already invited you. All you need to do is go to the table. You're his child. You don't have to be shy or bashful. You have access to the table because you're his child. I encourage you to go to the table and let the Lord help and give you what you need. The table's full. Take what you need, get back to battle, and then when you need it again, you come right back and you get what you need, because the Lord's table's open to you and he wants to help you. David says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm thankful that God